Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey, everybody. It's Winter with the Shift Spotlight. And today we are here with Brandon Maherman. He is the CEO of Skymount Property Group and can be found at skymount.net. Now, I know we're going to be talking about a bunch of things today. So before we dive into that, because I know you got a couple arms in what you do, let's start out with an interesting fact about you that people may not know.
Yeah, I've been playing competitive paintball since I was about 13 years old. Don't get to do too much of it now with wife and kids in this business. But any chance I get, I try to get back into it. Yeah.
Wow. I actually like that one. Never heard that one before. So
yeah.
Professional paintball. I'm not that great at it, but
yeah.
Good. Okay. So at a high level, why don't you tell us what it is that you do?
Yes. And thank you, Winter, for having me. This is exciting for me very much. So we're a real estate. So Skymount, we're located in north east region of Ohio, so Cleveland market. And we're a real estate investment / development company, mainly focusing on single family residential properties. And what cool little fact about us is nearly 100% of the inventory that we acquire are off market direct from seller acquisitions. So through one of our many marketing channels. So we have a big arm as part of a big part of our company is our marketing team. So that's essentially what we do.
So I know back in the day, those were like those yellow letters that looked like they were handwritten. Are those still working or has that changed a bit?
Yeah, no, we definitely A/B test direct mail in the real estate business, right? Because you're mailing directly to the property you're trying to purchase or do business with. It works really well in our industry, and yellow letters are definitely one of those many direct mail pieces that we A/B test and use in a campaign. Yeah.
So are you only looking for properties located in your general area or is it all over?
Yeah, we have about 12 to 13 counties in our northeast region of Ohio, which is not a lot of people know. There's about 4.5 million people in the northeast region of Ohio, with Cleveland. Then you have Akron, Canton, Youngstown, like some sub metro areas. So we have a very large amount of people, and we touch about 12 to 13 counties that we purchase houses in currently.
Gotcha. Okay. So what inspired or motivated you to start this business?
Absolutely. Well, just real quick about my background. I'm very blue collar, come from the Youngstown area. So grew up in Northeast Ohio, raised by my grandparents since I was very young. So got that old school kind of core value upbringing. But was the first person in my entire family to go to college. And what kind of put me through college is I was working construction jobs, right? Where I grew up, there wasn't a lot of diversity in type of work, right? You could either go work at a restaurant or you could go work for construction. So I worked a lot of different construction jobs and just loved it. Like I loved everything about construction and real estate from a young age, just the hands-on piece of it. And at the end of the day, you got to see your work, right? Being making something new or building something, you got to see your hard work at the end of the day. And it was always rewarding to me. So, I came back to it in my later 20s.
So we all know that running a business is hard. And especially in what you do, you make a lot of mistakes along the way. I mean, you mentioned A/B tests, but in general, that's, you know, how many failures do I have before I, you know, hit something on the head? So we'll talk about the mistakes you made because we all know we make a lot of those as business owners. But before we do that, let's talk about something that you did right.
Absolutely. That we did right recently. So we've been at this, or myself's been at this for about 8 years full time. And the first 6 years were really tough, right? For a lot of different reasons that we can get into. But the last 18 months to 24 months, myself and the leadership team and basically the entire company just said, you know, enough is enough, right? We have a good brand, we're doing good things, we're working our tails off, but we're just not seeing the profitability and the success, right? So we really focused on three key areas. And three key areas are transparency, right? And that's one of our core values, actually. Transparency is one of our core values. But we built that throughout our organization. Every aspect of our organization, we built transparency. Then, and we did that through BI dashboards, business intelligent dashboards, right? Metrics, tracking everything we possibly can. And then the second piece of that is the accountability piece. So we have the metrics, we have the activity-based metrics, results-based metrics, and then we tied that all back to our financials to make sure that we're focusing on the right things to drive profit, right? And then everyone is accountable to at least two of those key numbers, right? So we have the accountability. And the last piece we did was focus, right? Which is we focused on the channels that delivered the most value to our customers and the most value to our organization, and we eliminated everything else for good, bad, or otherwise, right? And in real estate, you can have shiny object syndrome very easy. There's lots of different asset classes, there's lots of different things to invest, and we just said, hey, let's just do what we're best at and focus. So, and we're going into our fourth consecutive quarter of profitability, and having one of our going to have one of our strongest years ever. So it's playing out nicely.
I love that. And you mentioned one of your core values being transparency, but I did notice that your core values are people first, growth mindset, transparent, and grit. So talk to me about those core values.
Absolutely. So the first one, people first, missionaries, not mercenaries, right? So we're really looking for people. We have a big vision. We want to be a sustainable company that's around for generations. And we want A players that want to be here for the right reasons, right? If you're just here for a paycheck, if you're just here for whatever short-term reasons, we're just probably not a right fit for you. So that's first, people first, right? And then transparency, well, growth mindset's the next one. It kind of goes into it, right? If you don't want to grow as an individual, if you don't want to see the brand grow, if you don't want to help the customers provide solutions so they can grow in their lives, right? You just want to be told what to do. You know, this kind of isn't it for you. And then transparency, right? Trust is kind of one of those core values that everybody kind of slaps on the wall. We want trust in our team. We want trust in our company, right? But what's the precursor to trust? Trust is the end result. But how do you build trust in an organization? Well, you do that through transparency. So we said, yeah, at the end of the day, we want everyone to trust one another, but we really care about transparency in our organization, right? So that's where
Especially
transparency.
in real estate, and especially in what you do, right? Like it's already a non-trusted world in general.
Absolutely.
And I have heard the real estate industry to be compared as the used car salesman industry, right? And I have four brothers who at one point, every single one of them sold you ca used cars. I grew up in the used car business, so I'm allowed to say that. But you know, I think when you are in this world and that's one of your core values, it does set you apart because so few do it or re recognize the importance of it.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how many times we're sitting at the kitchen table or in the living room with one of our potential customers, and they just say, "Wow, what a breath of fresh air." Because
Fair.
we're just being real with them. We're asking them questions about their situation. We're not trying to sell them on anything, right? we're actually trying to sell them on not going with us, right? Because we're trying to let them know what we can and can't do. So yeah, it's really important in our industry. You're exactly right.
Yeah. And then grit, right? You got to have grit and resolve, especially with the ever-changing world of real estate. And one moment it's here and the next it's there, and then it's there, and then it's there. So you definitely have to have that grit and resolve.
Yeah, and we define it as the persistence to overcome any obstacle, right? And just not giving up. Once we set a path and realize that that's the path we need to go down, then everyone's accountable to help get to that point. And whatever barriers in place, we're gonna get past it.
Right. You mentioned a leadership team. So how many employees do you have?
Yeah. Well, it was a big challenge. Part of the shift over the last 18 months is we significantly reduced our overhead, right? Right now we have right around 20 employees, and we reduced that significantly over the last 18 months. And our leadership team, do you want to know what our kind of leadership team looks like?
I mean, like, just tell me the general makeup.
Yeah.
I don't often hear companies like this say they have
Yeah.
leadership teams.
Yeah.
So, I also don't hear transparency. So you're doing
Yeah,
things a little bit differently, and I just want to hear about it.
absolutely. So, we actually, our Sean is our integrator and our CTO. And so he really has a tech background, and I'm more of the construction sales type of person, and I know my way around tech, but I knew we had to have someone that's really good at tech, and he programs and leads our tech team as well. But he's also our integrator. We run on the EOS system, and he operates as our integrator as well. So just a great individual on our leadership team. He's been with us for almost 3 years now. We also have April. April's with us. She just celebrated her 5 year. She's actually offshore. Most of our employees are actually offshore. And we operate pretty lean here in the States for many different reasons. So we can go into that. But she manages our entire offshore team. So really, we're lean and mean right now. We have a three-person leadership team. We used to have as high as six on our leadership team at one point, 3 or 4 years ago. But we, with less overhead, we're actually doing 50% more business than we were last year, just with less overhead because of those three things I told you that we've really focused and come in alignment with.
And so, how did you get involved with the EOS framework?
We've been with it for a long time. We've been with it for 5, 6 years now. I think I was introduced to it when I was an EO member. I was a member of Entrepreneurs Organization here in the local Cleveland chapter for a couple years, and I was introduced to EOS through that channel, I believe.
Yeah, I saw that you're a member of EO. My husband,
Yeah.
Ken Haskins, who runs GCE, which is our sponsor for the podcast, he is an EO member. And I saw
Yeah.
that on your LinkedIn profile. So, what did you get out of being a part of that besides the EOS framework?
Yeah, we run on EOS because of EO. We also got out of it Culture Index, and there's another competitive company, Predictive Index. But those tools, they're hiring tools, but they're more so retention, culture, and training tools, right? About someone's culture profile. So we got those two main tools, but just met some great people. I would have stayed in it, but I'm a part of some national real estate mastermind groups that are more focused on our industry. And I was just getting a little bit more direct value into our core business with those. And I was spread too thin in too many groups. So I didn't continue my membership with EO. But yeah, there's so many good things to say about EO.
And so, are you self-implementing or are you using an implementer? How does that work for you?
For the first two or three, well, we early on, we tried self-implementing, and it was horrid, right? And then we got a professional EOS implementer, was great for 2 or 3 years. We loved him. He still sometimes runs our annuals. But Sean, who has a strong EOS background and knows we run on 90.io, which is a partner with EOS. We've been running on that for 4 or 5 years, and he knows that very well. He runs, as in our integrator, he runs our EOS sessions now. And it's been going great. So we just kind of don't need that EOS coach anymore.
You run on the 90.io as well, so I
Yeah.
know what you're talking about there.
Hi there. This is Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. What's holding your company back? It's often blind spots in leadership, miscommunication, misaligned priorities, and untapped growth opportunities. GCE's 360 assessment provides crystal clear insights into your team's strengths and challenges. Then, one of our leaders will work with you to turn those insights into an action plan, ready to build a stronger, aligned team that can execute against your vision. Learn more about our 360 assessment today.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit. So what are the top things impacting your industry right now? It could be positive or negatively.
From a negative standpoint, right? Interest rates, fluctuation in interest rates. And it's not just interest rates in a sense, it's uncertainty, right? People can
That's
still
right.
probably afford the 6.5%, right? Versus the 4% of 2 years ago. It's not all the affordability. It's just when there's uncertainty in the economic world and people just say, well, I'm gonna wait. Right? I'm going to wait. Maybe now's not the right time because there's too much uncertainty. So just uncertainty. And then with the election and everything, people get nervous. So that's been something we've had to kind of work around. But what's been working really well is I think it goes back to what you were saying at the beginning of the show, is in our industry, it's not looked real highly, like not even investment companies, but people don't like realtors, right?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people have negative connotation of realtors, just real estate in general. And why is that? Because these could be, for most people, the biggest financial transaction that they ever make in their life, right? So there's a lot of emotions tied to it, whether you're buying, whether you're selling, whether you're renting, doesn't matter. There's just emotions attached to it. And with emotions and people that don't know how to handle, right, other people in situations, it just gets a really bad rap. And that's where we feel like there's the most potential. Is if you have a good brand and a good message and good people that are taking care of their customers, being transparent with your clientele, doing what you say you're going to do, right? And if anything happens on the back end, stepping up and taking care of it, we do that all the time, right? If there's a problem with a brand new rehabbed house and there's issues, we just go back and fix them. No questions asked, right? And that's just the way. And it definitely is going to take time. Right, but we are starting to get a name in our local market here, and we're proud of that. We're very proud of that.
This time period, it's been a lot more uncertainty than normal. So yes, on election years, you expect the uncertainty because that's what happens in election year. It started earlier than it ever did. It started in July of the election year, as opposed to normally we see it September timeframe. And then it carried through to the elections and then into, January 20th. And then now the tariffs and the interest rates, it's continued on longer than, dare I even say, the foreclosure market, because in the foreclosure market, and in down markets, there's always still a buyer. Cash comes out in markets like those. But in these, uncertain times where end users are leading the charge on home ownership, there's a lot of pause. I've seen a lot of right now buyers getting past the due diligence cycle and walking away from their earnest money before the closing, just out of the uncertainty. And it's not, we're not talking like 2, 3 grand. We're talking 25, 50, 80 grand, I've heard people walk away from, right? So it's interesting. I do think the news impacts that as well, you know, and typically when the dust settles, it doesn't matter who gets elected. It doesn't matter who you vote for. None of those things really matter. Everything kind of goes back to normal. But this year, we're seeing that take longer. Would you agree?
Yeah, it is. And the only comment that I can make to that, and we just had our quarterly planning session that we came out of, and we had a conversation about this as well, because we do a SWOT analysis and look at the economics and everything, is you want to be aware, right, of everything. You want to be aware of the macroeconomic, the micro trends, especially tied to your industry. But if you get scared with everyone else, right, you start making bad decisions instead of focusing on the things you can control. And what's crazy is being a part of these national mastermind groups of companies all over the United States that were just absolutely killing it in 2021 when the rates were at 3% and we were struggling, barely making it, right? Not profitable. It was just terrible for us. Those years were really bad for us. And now all of a sudden, right, when the market's completely shifted and some of those companies are either going out of business or really struggling, we're having our best year, right? And it just is a testament to just focusing on what you can control, being aware of the things you can't control, and make pivots as necessary, but don't let it cripple you, right, out of fear.
That has
been a good thing.
And I always say, well, I mean, it's a fact, but more millionaires are made in the Great Depression than any other time in American history. And the reason is there was opportunity even in those markets. Mm-hmm. I jumped into the real estate world in 08 when everybody was jumping out. I started working with cash investors and they were buying, you know, $20,000, $30,000 homes. They were just doing it in volume so I could make up for it in volume. There was a market at that time, but so many people left the industry during that time because they didn't know how to pivot. They didn't know how to be aware, and they followed the doom and gloom, you know? And so there's opportunities in every single market. So where do you see yourself investing resources for growth over the next year? Because it looks like you're on a growth trend.
Yeah. So we're fully committed to our core business, single family acquisitions, renovations, and we do mostly sell on the single family side. And then towards the end of this year, Q4, or even into Q1 of 2026, we're going to start with our business model into larger apartment complexes. And those are going to be buy and hold, refinance type deals. We're not going to sell those. So we're going to use the cash we generate from selling the single family, reinvest those into larger multifamily projects. And then we're really passionate about construction and developing a great product at the end of the day. And I, you know, a little bit of construction background myself, I love that part of it. So we're going to also get into ground up development work, building single family, affordable single family, around 1500 square feet, three bedroom, two bath, brand new product on infill lots. So the suburbs that have a lot of these empty lots in between houses, we can go in there, build a nice affordable product for around $250,000, right? Because I have not seen, at least in our market, and I'm sure it's the same in most other markets, the home builders just don't build affordable houses anymore. It's 2,500 square foot and bigger, $400,000 price point. And I'm talking Cleveland, Ohio. So that's probably really cheap in some other areas, but it's expensive here. 400 grand and up, right? Maybe the economics work out better for them when they're buying a big plot of land, right, for building bigger houses. But the demand for a new product in an affordable three bedroom, two bath, 1,500 square foot is immense. Right. And no one's servicing that product. And we want to get to that point at some point.
Good. So if you had to do it all over again, speaking to a younger self, a less experienced self, I mean, you said your first 6 years were kind of grit and, you know, trugging along. What would your advice be?
Yeah. You know, the typical one is just start sooner. It was actually good. I went full time when I was about 27, and if I would have started any sooner, I wasn't really mature enough to really do it. So that's not the answer. Really, for me, is if I could start it all over again, is I would not feel like I needed to have an organization of fun and low accountability to hold talent. That was a big mistake in
That's
my
a really
first
good one.
6 years,
That's a really good one.
is I created this fun, lackadaisical, like we just go out whenever we go out and get drinks, whatever we want to do, go play disc golf, like, oh, it's a nice day, let's knock off early. Just, and I felt like I had to. And in the background, I was busting my ass, right? Well, excuse me, but I was
Oh,
busting
you're
my
totally
butt.
fine.
And but I felt like that was the culture that we had to create in order to attract and retain top talent, because we couldn't afford the high salaries starting out, right? We couldn't afford that. That was such a mistake. And what I realized, especially over these last 2 years, is A players want to be held accountable. They want metrics, right? Because they want to win. And winning is fun. Winning is the most fun. And whether you attract profit to winning or deals or whatever, but A players want to win, and they know they have to be held accountable, and they know how they have to have the metrics, and they have to work their butts off to win, right? And I personally nearly put this company out of business because of the fun, unaccountable culture I was building and thought I had to build in order to keep talent. And that's just not the case.
We were talking about this earlier today too. People want to rise to the level of expectation you set for them. But as leaders, so few actually show them what that expectation is, because a lot of the CEOs and a lot of these business owners, they just had a good idea or they were good at something. And running a business and actually being a leader is a learned thing. It's not something you in very few people have an instinct about how to do that. And so, people will give you and they want to give you what you expect of them. But if you don't have expectations of them, then you kind of create an environment of chaos.
Absolutely. And
Yeah.
that's what it was for us for the first 6 years.
Well, good. We got some clarity in the chaos. So, just a few more questions here. What is a book or resource that you would recommend to another CEO?
Does it have to be one? Because I
Nope, you
gotta.
can go, ham.
Okay, so I'm gonna leave my two ultimate that's really changed my life for the end. But I grabbed three books because of really this transformation we went through in the last 18 months of focusing, right? Eliminating the distraction and the noise, and it's, I mean, it's been amazing for us. So obviously, a lot of people have read and heard The Pumpkin Plan by Mike Michalowicz. I don't know how to say the last name, but it's about, a book that those farmers who grow those big pumpkins at the fairs, right? They do that by picking out all the little ones that are draining all the energy to grow the big one, right? So The Pumpkin Plan's a great book on how to focus in your business. Why Simple Wins by Lisa Bodell. Just why, especially in today's world of noise and so much just frequency all the time, right? How a simple brand and a simple business can win through that noise. And this is kind of a real estate one, Gary Keller, right? He
Gotta
wrote a
have a
book.
Gary Keller book in there.
Yeah, the one thing, right? It's about focus and really driving, finding that one thing that you're good at and doing that better than anyone else. So those are about what's really our main focus of the last 18 months. But two books that have basically changed my life, one more so recent than the other, is this Simon Sinek series. I love Simon Sinek, The Infinite Game,
I
right?
do too.
Developing a business that's sustainable, that you're out there to really do things the right way for the long term, right? And not just making these short-term decisions. And especially we're in this world of Wall Street right now, where we're just day trading and we're buying companies to break them apart, we're basically destroying companies for profit, right? And it's just a refreshing book to say, hey, business doesn't have to be that way, right? And capitalism wasn't developed to be that way, right? So that's a great book. The last one here, sorry, I got so many, but the last one
No,
here.
I love these. And honestly, I've not had anybody recommend these specific ones. So diversity is good.
Okay. The last one who's really changed my life, it's been recommended to me many times, and I finally just said, okay, I'm going to read it. And I'm on my like third time reading it. It's called The Gap in the Game by Dan Sullivan. And Dan Sullivan like is a founder of Strategic Coach. So he was doing that for a while. But basically, in all of his coaching of entrepreneurs and A players and A type personalities, he found out that everybody, not everybody, but a large majority of people, even though they were successful in the eyes of everyone around them, they didn't feel successful. Right.
Right.
And they had anxiety. They had it's just like, man, why aren't these A type personalities like enjoying the success
right.
they're having? And it's really the difference between how you measure success, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of us measure success based on some artificial ideal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out there that you can change at any minute, that you can say, oh, that's great, we hit this number, but it should have been this. Why should have been that? Just because I feel like it shouldn't have been that, right? And we're mm-hmm. always measuring ourselves and our team against some artificial ideal instead
right.
of measuring where we're at now versus where we were and say, oh my gosh, we just grew 50%. That's the gain, right? That's the realized gain. And that's what you should maybe measuring yourself based on. And this book, and it's got so many stuff, has really changed my life because I struggle with that big time, right?
Any type A driven person struggles with that. You know, you have one success and you don't even enjoy it enough until you're going, well, what could we have done better? How could we have made it bigger? You know, and it is, it's a trap. It's a
It
trap,
is.
right?
Such a trap. And especially being the big icons of today's world, right? I'm an Elon Musk fan, and you know, I follow him, and I'm like, well, if Elon can do it, why can't I do it? Well, I'm a failure if I can't do what Elon does. And it's
I
just
mean,
like,
I can't go to space. I suck.
It's just like, why are we doing that? Right. So.
Well, good. Okay. So if somebody listening wanted to take the next step with you, what should they do?
Next step with me, you know, I don't know. You can give them out my email. Go to
skymount. I'm going to tag
net.
you and everything too.
Yeah, go to my email. You can call my cell phone. I answer my phone all the time, so I'm very
in real
accessible.
Estate, you have to.
Yeah, I'm very accessible. If you have any questions, go right ahead. Reach out to me anytime.
Awesome. Okay, this was super great. Thanks for being on the Shift Spotlight. I loved our conversation today.
Thank you so much, Winter.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.